All right, Breaking Bats is here at Tampa Bay Rays spring training with friend of the program, is one of my favorite people, one of the hardest working people in sports journalism, Tricia Whitaker. It's always a pleasure. Thank you for making some time. It's a busy day down here for you. How's your day been so far?
It's been a really, really busy day. We've done sit-down interviews for our season preview show. We have the broadcast today. We did a ride-along with Sean Armstrong. That was really fun. He's the best. So we're doing ride-alongs with the players this year, but I'm sure we'll get into that. But it's been a great day.
Yes, we'll definitely touch on that because you did the first one with our guy.
Yeah, your guy.
What number spring training is this for you with Tampa?
Six.
Wow.
Yeah, which is wild. I started in 2019 and this is number six.
What have you learned, like, from year one to now? Have there been things that you've picked up just from getting out there and getting reps? Like,
honestly, I've learned the most important thing is to be here and to be present. Like, I think during spring training, that's when you really get to know the guys. You gain their trust. You figure out who they are as people, because during spring training, people are a little bit more relaxed, which is nice. So that's probably it.
And I feel like too, with the Rays especially, like, I feel like just like the word families come up a lot. Is that kind of like the theme for this group? It's just like everybody gets along, like, and it's a big kind of like family atmosphere.
You know, it's funny. I was just talking to Sean Armstrong about that when we were doing our ride along. He said, this group of guys, there's not a lot of screen time. And what he meant by that is not everybody's sitting in the clubhouse just staring at their phone before the game starts, right? So last year in the clubhouse, Sean Armstrong and Jason Adam went out and bought a ping pong table so that they could play ping pong. They play cards, they play dominoes. So yeah, it is kind of a family atmosphere. On the team playing, they're always playing dominoes together. And I know some teams are like that, but you don't hear about that all the time, right? And I think that's what makes this group so fun to be around, is that they like being around each other. And that's unique.
Ping pong, I'm sure there's some fierce battles in there.
Sean Armstrong said Taylor Walls thinks he's the best at ping pong, but he said, nah, he's not the best. Sean's pretty good at ping pong, but I think we're going to have to make that maybe a segment this year, is have the guys wear some mics and play ping pong in the clubhouse.
I would love that.
Yeah, it gets rowdy. It gets rowdy.
I think another thing too, that is just like, you're always trying to do new stuff. You talk about the ride-alongs. You did one with Sean Armstrong. You did one with Pete Fairbanks.
Yeah.
What, like, is trying to innovate and trying to find new ways, like, how much fun is that for you?
I think it's so important to give people a peek behind the curtain as to who these guys are. When you think about why you cheer for players, yes, we cheer for some of the best, right? But how about the guys who, like, the Sean Armstrongs of the world or the Pete Fairbanks of the world, where it's like, they're not exactly the stars of the team. They're not the Randy Arozarenas, but they play such an important role. And I think it's really cool to give a peek behind the curtain of who they are. So with Sean Armstrong, we're driving here, and he's like, I'm like, what was your first car? He's like, a 1999 Silverado, blah, 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 blah. He's like, I've been driving cars since I was 12 years old. I used to do motocross. I broke my arm in motocross, and that's how I got into baseball. I mean, it's just so cool to learn those little things about those guys who, like, really had an interesting path. And, you know, like, guys like Randy Arozarena, when we do sit-down interviews with him, new things come out every single time about his journey to the majors, how he defected from Cuba, everything. I think that's what makes sports so much fun, and that's what draws people in. You know, you obviously marvel at guys who can throw 101 mile per hour fastballs. You marvel at curveballs, and those are all good and well. But when you know who the person is and their story, that really makes you resonate. So that's why we're doing these ride-alongs.
That's so cool. And it's such a great format for that, too.
Yeah.
Just like more intimate, just like one-on-one style, yeah, and trying to mix it up. Do you do carpool karaoke with them?
Ah, I wish. I wish we did carpool karaoke with them. You got to pay a hefty copyright fee for that. But I would love to do carpool karaoke. I don't know that I would get very many takers with that. I think if I did, it would probably be a Pete Fairbanks. I think we could convince Jason Adam to do it too. But no, we have not done that yet. If you want to pay the copyright fee though, let's go. We'll do it.
Pass the hat around. If you had to narrow it down, what's the one thing that, like, or like what most excites you about your job?
The ability to tell those stories. I mean, that has always been kind of my bread and butter, right? Like, I can talk the nuts and bolts, but I never played baseball, right? I'm not Brian Anderson. I'm not, you know, a former player. My job is to show you who these guys are and who these coaches are and who the manager is. My job is to give you the story of the game and how they're feeling about it and what are their thoughts. My job is not to be like, all right, let me break down this curveball. You ask me to do that, I might get fired because they'd be like, you don't know what you're talking about. I could try, but yeah. I never threw a curveball. That's not my role. So that's what excites me most about this job, is talking to the guys about that type of stuff. Talking to Pete Fairbanks about, like, why his son loves Pokemon and why his son calls the Trop a volcano, right? I mean, those are the fun things. Or when you talk about nuts and bolts with guys, when you talk about, all right, why'd you add a toe tap to your swing? Why'd you add a toe tap before? You know, like, those are the things that I love to tell fans about. That's my favorite part of my job, because anybody can look at a box score. And I tell my students this at IU all the time. Don't just read me a box score. Don't just give me a play-by-play of the game. If I want a play-by-play of the game, I'm going to go on ESPN and look at the play-by-play. I don't need you. Why should I listen to what you have to say? Tell the story behind the numbers. And that's my favorite part. That was a long-winded answer, but that's my favorite part.
I'm glad you mentioned the IU. Adjunct professor.
Yeah.
Is it just like a winter course?
It is. It's a fall course. It's a second 8-week course. So at the end of October, it starts and it goes to the middle of December. But I went to IU. I grew up in Bloomington. It's my favorite place in the whole wide world. I mean, who goes to Indiana in the winter when you live in Florida? Like
the reverse.
Only crazy people, right? Yeah. I'm a reverse snowbird is what they say. But I love it there. I love my students. One of my students just texted me yesterday and he said he got a play-by-play internship job in one of the, with I think it was like a low A team or maybe, I don't even remember, a rookie ball team or whatever. But I was just like, this is the best day ever. You know, I like, it makes me so happy to see them succeed. It's a better feeling than like nailing an interview for me or anything. Like I could get, you know, the best job in the world, which I already have, and I wouldn't be as happy as when my students do something. So that's the best part of it. And I'll do that till I die or until they kick me out.
Was there one thing this past semester, like that you tried to like hone in on with your students, or was it like a topic or just like a way of going about things that you kind of introduced to them, or like what were the kind of things you mentioned this last semester at IU?
I think storytelling, because this probably is the biggest thing we talked about this semester. We are in an age of media where everybody has a platform. Every single person has a platform. Your job is to make sure that you are telling the story the right way. And your job is to also make sure you're telling the story in an entertaining way. Your job is not to necessarily, like, clickbait is cheap. Clickbait is cheap. Chasing headlines is cheap journalism.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I really honed in on with my students this semester was like, while that's all good and well for like a really good headline or something that's worth it, if all you're doing is chasing cheap headlines and all you're doing when you walk in that clubhouse is trying to find a headline, you're missing the stories and you're writing your own narrative. So we've talked a lot about that because we've seen so much of that, right? People who just want clickbait, people who just want to just be the story in the press conference. You are not the story. Your subject is the story. And your job is to bring that story out of the subject that you're interviewing. And we see so many people nowadays, they'll go in a press conference. How many times have you heard somebody ask a question at a press conference? Like, you just like the sound of your own voice.
Yeah.
You're trying to back somebody into a corner because you want to go viral. That's not what we teach at IU. And that's probably one of the things that we've talked about most this semester is just like, how do you jump into this new era of journalism while not taking the cheap route? And that's probably one of the biggest things.
We interrupt this episode to bring you a word from the official sponsor of Not For Long Media and the Breaking Bats podcast, the Original Fudge Kitchen. It is a staple of the Jersey Shore with 6 locations in Cape May, Wildwood, North Wildwood, Stone Harbor, and Ocean City. The Original Fudge Kitchen makes all of their fudge in-store, guaranteeing a delicious product, so stop by and let them know that Not For Long Media and Breaking Bats sent you. Check them out online at fudgekitchenswithans.com as they are shipping fudge and sweet treats all across the country. Now back to the episode.
Do you think a lot of that too is just like the way they prepare and like the research that they put in ahead of time?
Yes.
I feel like that's a big way you can kind of like differentiate yourself. You're like you mentioned, it's such a crowded media space. Like if you come locked and loaded and you know your shit, like.
Yes, when you know your stuff and when you see the athletes as people and when you make them comfortable in a conversation, that's really important too, right? You need to be able to have banter. You need to be able to talk to them about little things that have nothing to do with baseball. And you need to be prepared. You need to know the X's and O's of baseball, but you also need to know the person, right? Like today I get in the car with Sean Armstrong to do this ride along. And before I felt like I knew everything about him, right? Cause I've covered him for like 6 years or something like that. He hasn't been with the Rays that long, 3. But I'm looking him up and I find, you ran cross country? You ran cross country in high school for 4 years. How many Major League Baseball players ran cross country? I mean, that's so weird, right? That's just a random thing. Mm-hmm. So we're sitting in the car and I bring it up. He's like, yes, I did run cross country. And he's like, I also did motocross, all this stuff. So when you find out little tidbits like that, it really humanizes people. Yeah. And that's fun to me.
That's always my favorite part, is just like the discovery phase of like,
yeah.
All right, I know I'm talking to this person. Is there something that I can ask them that hasn't been asked right. 1,000 times?
Yes.
I feel like also it's just like a viewer, like I want to know that kind of stuff.
Yeah, you do. And that's our job as a journalist to bring that out, right? So like, that's why even on days sometimes when we don't have the broadcast for spring training, because we only do 10 spring training games, I'll still be here talking to the guys, going in the clubhouse, picking their brain on things, because it's important not only to develop that trust, but to get to know them so that you can tell their story the right way. Mm-hmm. So that's another thing when you ask about my students, is cultivating relationships is really important, cultivating that trust, right? Obviously, if a guy's over 25 at the plate, can't tiptoe around that. I gotta bring that up. But if they trust you and they respect you, they understand that. Like Taylor Walls is a great example of that. Last year, he went through a tough stretch for a few weeks. But because we had that relationship and that kind of trust, he understood that I had to question, not question him, but just talk about that. And they're willing to talk to you about it if they know that, you know, they can trust you.
That's a good point. And you've been in Tampa for so long that like a lot of the guys, like they'll just come up to you. It's like, I don't know, it's like you're a part of the team, you've been here so long.
You saw Randy Arozarena come up to me and steal my phone for a minute before this interview. He just grabbed it and started running away. Yeah, that is the type of relationship that you have with them, because when you are the team reporter, you're with them all the time. They may hate it. Some of them may hate it. I don't actually know. But for the most part, I mean, I know a lot of these guys like aunts and grandmas. I still keep in touch with Austin Meadows' parents and his aunt and his grandmother on Instagram. You know, it's like little things like that where you're just like, I know your whole family. This is bizarre, but that's part of the job. And yeah. That's why it's so important for them to be able to trust you, because you get to know their family. You get to know their wives, their girlfriends, their kids. I've watched some of these kids grow up the last 6 years, and it's been so much fun.
Yeah.
So, that's a huge part of it.
Oh, my gosh. Let's do a couple Rays storylines to wrap up.
Let's do it.
The loss of Tyler Glasnow, traded to the Dodgers over the winter. What did he mean to the organization, both from like a pitching perspective and also just like as a person, vibes guy?
Tyler Glasnow meant so much to the Rays organization, the people that covered him, and obviously the front office. He went and had a beer with Eric Neander on the day that he got traded. I mean, who does that, right? Tyler was truly one of the best interviews that I've ever done in professional sports, because he gets it. He's so freaking smart, and people don't give him enough credit, I don't feel like, for how smart he is. He's willing to talk to you about different things. He's willing to do interviews with anybody, anywhere, really, most of the time. And you don't see guys give you that type of access, but Tyler gets it.
Yeah.
He gets that this game is an entertainment business, and he gets it, that it's important, kind of like Pete Fairbanks does and Randy Arozarena does. He gets that it's important to show that side of them. And he also just cares so deeply about other people. And I'm not even talking about Tyler Glasnow on the mound yet. Shoot, that's what we miss the most, right? He's insane on the mound. But he was just such a great presence in that locker room. Like, on start day, though, I will say, don't cross paths with him. He is like so intense on start day. And he said that to me one time in a sit-down interview. He goes, I'm such a nervous pitcher, but that's actually my favorite thing about me. He's like, I got that edge. And that edge pushes me to be the best. And I'm like, well, damn. Like, that's true. And so on his start day, no, I don't. If he's walking in the hall, I'm like, whoop, I'm going to go that way. But every other day, Tyler is the most happy, funny, just go lucky guy. And they are really going to miss him. I mean, from a talent standpoint, obviously, there's nobody like Glasnow. But from a personality standpoint, just such a good human being.
I've heard nothing but great things about him. I love when he goes on podcasts. He's very out there.
So out there.
I appreciate how like available he is to like different media outlets also. Like, I feel like he's always there.
He is. And the other thing is that he really, like, I've said this before, but like, he really hones in on like, baseball is what you do, it's not who you are. And he talks a lot about how when he was with the Pirates and in the minors, he's like, that messed with me. He's like, I came to the park every day so nervous and so uptight, and it was awful. He's like, I wasn't even having fun anymore. But then he learned how to enjoy the game and make sure that baseball was not who he was, it was what he did. So Tyler Glasnow, outside of baseball, he's got some hobbies. And he's a fun guy. In baseball, but also outside of baseball. And I just loved his wisdom in that sense, you know? It's a good point.
This year, the Rays rotation, it's a big topic. How do you think they're going to hold up in the absence of Tyler Glasnow? I feel like it's a lot of younger guys. It's a lot of guys who are coming in for the first time. How do you kind of view the state of the rotation?
I actually just sat down with Rays President of Baseball Operations, Eric Neander, and the words he used to describe it, This is not an established rotation necessarily, but they're very talented. And he also used the word artsy. And I really like that description because it's true. When you look at this rotation, you're like, obviously Zach Eflin, he's quite established. We know that. Aaron Civale is established, but they are expecting him to take a step forward this year, right? Last year was a little bit of a transition for him being traded over near the end of the season. That's never easy. But then you look at the rest of the rotation and you're like, yep, there needs to be some establishment there, right? Taj Bradley got injured in spring training. We'll see when he can rejoin the team, but opening day, no. Shane Boz, Drew Rasmus, and Jeffrey Springs at some point during the season, May, June, maybe August, right? So there's still some uncertainty in that fifth spot to replace Taj Bradley. There's definitely some competition there. You look at a guy like Pepio, they're hoping for big things from him this season. Obviously, Zach Littell, hoping to see him do much of the same of last year. But I loved how he described it. It's not really established, so all of us are kind of like, we don't entirely know what to expect, except for maybe from Zach Eflin. So TBD on the starting rotation.
Last question. We're a Josh Lowe podcast. I was so happy for him last year when he had that big breakout season. Who do you think is next up? Is there a position player that's due to have like a big time year?
I'm going to go with Jonathan Aranda, right? That might not be the name that everybody was expecting because he wasn't in the majors a ton last year or anything, but he was in the minors and he absolutely tore it up in the minors. He doesn't have anything left to prove in the minors, but that jump from the minors to the majors, I don't think people understand the talent gap there sometimes in the minors and the pitching that they're facing, right? You get to the majors, that's different.
Yeah.
That's a different ballgame. And so I think that I'm going to go with he makes a big jump this year. He's had a good spring. They have high expectations on him, but we've seen what he can do in the minors, and if he can make that adjustment to the majors at the plate, I think we're going to see some big things from him, and the Rays are really, really hoping that they do, and they're pretty confident after seeing the spring that he's had that they will.
It's the best. Well, Tricia, you've been so kind to our podcast over the years. I just want to say thank you for your time today and for everything, so I really appreciate it.
Of course, always.
And before we get out of here, a special thank you to the band Stick Figure for allowing us to use today's intro and outro music. Stereo in it.